And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were here, how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with you, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kizanite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your sweet, sweet presence in this service. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Father, your will be done in this service. Let us pay attention to what needs to be... Hold on. Dear Lord, thank you that what needs to be said will be said, and we will gather up what we need to gather up. And we will leave here encouraged and refreshed and excited. In the wonderful, mighty, precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So give the Lord some praise, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. God is faithful. God's not done with Victory Life Church. Boy, we sure have been going through it lately, but God has been so faithful. Amen. Can I get a witness? So what we're talking about today, we've been talking about this guy, Caleb, for a couple weeks now. This guy, Caleb, what set him apart from everybody else is he trusted in God. He trusted in God's word, and he obeyed God, and God blessed him. Let that sink in. We want to trust God. We want to obey God, and God's going to bless us. Okay? That's how that works. Okay? That doesn't mean that God's going to give you every single little thing you've ever, your heart's ever desired, but we want to be in God's will. That's what success is for God. That's how that works for God. When we obey his word, when we're in his will, that is success in God's eyes. Can I get a witness? So anyways, we got this guy, Caleb, who wholeheartedly trusted in God and obeyed God when everybody else was fearful and doubting, and God really used him and God really blessed him. This story, what we're talking about today, the Israelites, let's back up to the beginning real fast. The children of Israel, captivity, Egypt, 400 years, Moses leads them out in a short amount of time, gets them up to the promised land. Moses sends out 12 spies, one spy for every single one of the tribes of Israel. The 12 return, 10 have a horrible report saying there's giants in the land. The guys, everybody's stronger than us. They're bigger than us. They got these huge walled fortified cities. We cannot take this land. Two of them came back and said, that's ridiculous. These guys are bred for us. We can totally take this land. Joshua and Caleb, you know, they remembered what God had done for them in the past. Like, man, God has been faithful to us. If he says we can take this land, we can certainly take this land. Well, anyways, because of the 10 and the majority report, fear spread through the camp. God says, you know what? These guys that are murmuring, complaining, doubting, full of fear, they're not going to get this blessing that I had set aside for them, but their children are going to get it. So for 40 more years, this generation had to wander in the wilderness. So this is, we have Joshua and we have Caleb that trusted in God, that were stuck with these people for 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness, as one by one, that generation died off and was left in the wilderness. So now, okay, they go back to the promised land. The 40 years is up. They go back to the promised land. They're at the border again, and Moses is called home. Moses graduates. Moses goes to heaven. So now Joshua, the guy we've been talking about, Caleb's buddy, Joshua is now in charge of the children of Israel. It's his job to get them over to the promised land where there is much warfare. And in the time of what we're going to talk about today, they've crossed over. They've defeated many enemies. They have subdued many enemies, and they've conquered so much territory. They're not done yet. There's a lot more to be done. But at this time, Joshua, who is aged and elderly, begins to separate the land allots the land to each tribe, gets their land. Now, Caleb, our hero over the past 2 weeks, he's excited. God had made him some promises through Moses. Remember these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, they trusted in God. And when everybody was griping and grumbling and complaining and full of fear, Caleb was like, no, you guys, calm down. Let's go take this land right now. Let's go do it right now. Nobody wanted to do it. Matter of fact, everybody wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. So anyways, now Caleb, been fighting a long time now. He's 85 years old. And he goes to Joshua and he says, hey, I don't know if you remember this or not, but God, through the servant Moses, promised me something. And I want what God has promised. I want to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. I'm 85 years old. There's a lot of spring in my step still. I can still take that now. I can still do what God has called me to do. That's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at. Joshua 14, verse 9. And Moses, this is Caleb drawing to attention to Joshua what Moses said. And Moses swore on that day, the day of the good report through Caleb. And Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. He trusted in God and he obeyed God. That's a big part of it. Okay, if we're trusting in God, our actions are going to show that we're going to obey God. Does that make sense? If I'm trusting in God, I am going to be obedient to God. Can I get a witness? Look at Numbers 14, 24, just briefly. This is the promise that he got from Moses or from God. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, and that's us, we got to have a different spirit. We got to have that spirit that says, I'm trusting in God. I don't care what the newspaper says. I don't care what the newsman says. I'm trusting in God. I don't care even when my own heart wants to deceive me. Remember, we live by this at Victory Life Church. Christians, we got to live by this. Let God be true and every man a liar. Listen to what I said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Your own heart can be very deceitful. Your own heart can say, no, you're not good enough. You can't do this. You're damaged goods. You can't take that mountain. You're getting too old. You've had too many setbacks. You've had crazy, crazy a life of sin in the past. God cannot use you. That's all rubbish. That's all lies from the devil. Remember, let God be true and every man a liar. If anybody or anything says something different to you than what the Bible says, you better go with what the Bible says. We trust and we obey. That equals a big time blessing. Can I get a witness? But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, that's us, and has followed me fully, because he trusted me, he obeyed me, he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. Didn't pick and choose what he wanted to do. Didn't say, well, this is kind of popular to do this right now. This doesn't really fit in with what's going on culturally right now. No, he followed God completely. And this is what God says I'm going to do for you, Caleb. I will bring into the land into which you went. That beautiful land that you said we can go take? Okay, you will take it. You're going to get it. Into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Okay. So that's a big thing, man. Caleb says, yeah, I forgot. I have not forgotten what God promised me. Okay, moving forward. He trusted and he obeyed. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. These are familiar verses to us. Okay, but let's just look at them again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is what God tells us to do. Brother Dalton, this is good advice right here, my brother. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isn't that the difference between the 10 and the 2? The two guys that had the good report, Joshua and Caleb, they trusted in God. They trusted in God completely. And they had all these memories of God's amazing miracles that were going on in their life that they could pull from. Like God got us, you know, it wasn't too long ago and we were slaves. It wasn't too long ago when we had to go through all this. We couldn't do anything without our slave masters giving us permission to do it. We worked nonstop. Life was horribly hard, and God delivered me out of that. Okay, so here we are, Christian folks. We've been delivered from our life of slavery. We don't have to be bound by sin anymore. We've been forgiven. We're blessed. We've been set free. That's a big thing. That's a big thing, but we don't want to stop there. Just because we've received that salvation, we want everything that God has for us. We want to accomplish what God has for us, whatever that is. So anyways, moving forward, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So if I'm trusting in God with my entire heart, that leaves no room for fear or doubt. Then if I'm just trusting in God, no matter what the wind and waves look like, no matter what the forecast looks like, no matter what, you know, fill in the blank, what my checkbook looks like or what the doctor says, I'm trusting in God with my whole heart and I will not lean on my own understanding. That's a big deal. Can I get a witness? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now check out verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So when I trust God, when I trust God's word to be true, when I trust God's word and I obey God's word, those two are going to connect. Those two are going to flow together. I trust and I obey. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, or in all your ways, submit to Him, or in all your ways, obey Him. Trust God, obey God, and He will make straight your path. You know, sometimes we just go around the mountain because we keep trying to do things our way. You know, we keep trying to do it on our own power. That's not going to work out. A lot of stuff we're not going to be able to do on our own power, you know. But see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that makes everything different right there. It's not me. God has called me to do something. God has called me and promised me that mountain. Okay, but God's going to go with me to take that mountain, and He will give me strength. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. God's not done with Victory Life Church. I feel with all my heart, Victory Life Church has not seen its finest hour. We still have much more, and that's a tall order, you know. I remember the crazy days. The crazy days are coming back, you know. And crazy days might look a little different than the crazy days of the 80s, you know. You know, but God knows what He's doing, and God's not done with this outfit, not by a long shot. Not that I would ever entertain anything like that, you know. But I know God has much more for this body to do, amen. And God has things for us to do as individuals. Joshua 14, let's go to the next slide. Joshua 14:10. Okay. So Caleb's just saying, Joshua, God, through Moses, promised me this land. Okay. And I can still take it. Matter of fact, all I need is for you to sign off on it. And it's, you know, I'm going. I'm getting it. Joshua 14:10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. So, I mean, think about this. Joshua and Caleb had to spend 40 years extra in the wilderness. And the wilderness was not a hospitable place. He had to spend 40 years with these people that were so fearful that they couldn't take the land, you know, and they had to wait for that entire generation to die out. You can only imagine, you know, how that kind of looked when it got down to, you know, Joshua and Caleb kind of talking every once in a while. I was like, you know, according to my records here with the funerals and everything we've been doing, I think we only got 2 or 3 more people here before, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should feed them a little something a little powerful, season the food a little bit. No, they would never do that. They would never do that. But you can imagine, you know, Caleb be like, how you feeling today, man? Are you doing, you know, everything going all right? Everything flowing pretty good? You've been having all the, never mind. You're doing good, huh? You're not tired, not too weak? No, but 40 years, man. Okay, and then they cross over into the promised land, and there's all this warfare. And Caleb ain't no spring chicken. He's 85 years old when he goes up to Joshua, and he's like, hey, that stuff that God promised me, I want it. I ain't forgot about it. I know I got a little age on me, but I'm just as strong as I was then. Okay, so anyways, look at Isaiah 40 in verse 31. 40 in verse 31. Okay. But they who wait for the Lord. Do you think Caleb and Joshua had to do a little bit of waiting on the Lord? Oh my gosh, you can only imagine. Because these guys, let's put ourselves in their sandals for a minute. You know, check this out. They actually, with 10 other folks, they actually went into the promised land. They saw the stuff. They weren't intimidated by the giants. They weren't intimidated by the walled city. They weren't intimidated by any of that. They were captivated by the fruit and all the amazing, lush, beautiful, how everything was. But this was set aside for us. God set this aside for us. And we want this. We're claiming it. I'm going to take what God has for me. You know, but the other 10 didn't want nothing to do with it. But now they're there. And Caleb says, I want it. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Okay, we wait on God. Because it's not always in our timing. It's really not always in our timing. We want something right now. We think we should have this yesterday, or this should have been done first yesterday, or by the time I'm this age, this should happen or that should happen. No, not necessarily. Okay? You exist to give God glory. You exist to obey God and give Him glory. That's why you're here. And sometimes that's, we wait on Him. But when we wait on Him, that's where the blessing is. Or you can get frustrated and go try and do it yourself, and it's going to fall apart. It's not going to be God's best for you. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. God will give you the strength when we wait on Him. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's a metaphor. That really is not what happens there. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. God says you will soar above. You'll soar above. You'll get through this. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Okay, so I think Caleb gets that verse. I think Caleb kind of understands that this verse was not written while Caleb was around, but he understands the principle here. I'm waiting on God, and God will give me the strength to take that mountain. God will give me the strength to get what God has for me. Amen? I can do all things through Christ. Can I get a witness? Okay. Verse 11, I am still as strong today as I was in that day that Moses sent me. I have not forgotten the promise that God gave me. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. It's like, man, I can fight just as good as I could the first time I was here. I ain't worried about it. God's got me. So now give me this hill country. That's a bold statement. He says, look, I'm 85. Yeah, you ain't no spring chicken either, Joshua. And you're splitting the land up and everything. Well, now it's time for us to get together. And let me remind you, Moses promised me this land. You know all about it. You were there. Give me that hill country. Give me that mountain. That belongs to me. That is my inheritance for trusting and obeying God. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. That's interesting. That's a pretty interesting tidbit there. Caleb says, the land that God promised me, that's where the giants are, up in them hills. up in those hills, you know. Okay, the giants got the high ground. The big, tall, angry giants that can rip you in half, they got the high ground. But that happens to be the land that God promised me, and that's the land I'm going to take. Giants or not, I'm going to get what God has for me. You know, can I get a witness? And so it's really like this. Okay, this is what God promised me, so it's mine. This is what God promised me, so this is mine. I just got to go take it. I got to be obedient. And it just happens to be the giants that all these other people were freaking out about and were terrified about. They're all up in these mountains. Mostly they're all up in his mouth. So just because they're there, I'm gonna take care of the giant problem for everybody else because they happen to be on my land. Okay? So it ain't always easy to do what God's called you to do. But remember, He'll go before you. He'll make your crooked places straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And He'll direct your path. He'll get you to that high ground. He'll get you to that mountain. He'll get you to that place He wants you to be. Can I get a witness? Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to enjoy some of this. Yeah. Anakim were the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and drive them out just as the Lord said. Says, okay, here's the difference between me and all those other guys that died in the wilderness. So God's going to go with me. God was going to go with the guys originally, but they got too full of fear. Like the same God that, got us out of Egypt, took care of us all this time in the wilderness, did all these amazing miracles. Okay, same God says, now go take this land, go over here. And like, oh, there's giants over there. There's giants. Man, you just got delivered for 400 years of slavery. You couldn't have done that on your own, but God did all that. God parted the Red Sea for you. I'm sure he can take care of some giants and some walled cities. Matter of fact, if you go and read this account, he makes short work of walled cities. We just got to be obedient to God. That's a big thing, right? But anyways, Isaiah 40 and verse 29, he gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. You ever get really weak? Like, not even physically weak, but yeah, physically weak too, but just sometimes, man, you just wore out mentally, spiritually, going through a dry season. Now, listen to what God says. He gives power to the faint. That's a wonderful blessing that the world does not have. They do not have access to this strength and peace and joy that has for us. And so we pull our hair out trying to figure out why the unsaved people in our lives are self-medicating and doing all these crazy things and trying to bury their head in the sand and do this and do that to keep peace. They don't have access to this. They do have access to it. They have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But this is a wonderful blessing that we have as believers. If God said, that's your mountain, I need you to take it, we don't have to be fearful. We can do what God's called us to do, and he will give us the strength and provision for what he's called us to do. He gives power to the faint and to him who has no might. You ever feel like you're not the man? Like, you ever feel like, I can't do this. I'm not the type of person that would do this. I don't have the education for this. I don't, whatever. Okay, if God said you can do it, you can do it. He'll equip us. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. This is a promise that we need to claim and that we need to walk in. In this day when we were bombarded by all the lies of Satan, I've never seen a time like this, man, where it's just lie on top of lie. Everything is just so crooked and perverse. And here we are in the suburbs of Pensacola and big city crime is everywhere. I mean, this town's crazy, man. It's crazy. But God's still in control. God's still in control and we belong to him. And he says, maybe I've called you to do something about what's going on in this town. Maybe I've called you to intercede. Maybe I've called you to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Maybe the reason why everything's getting so crazy is because all we want to do is go watch Netflix after our day of work or whatever. Maybe God's called us to do a little something on the side. Can I get a witness? He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. And the Lord will be with me and drive them out, just as the Lord said. If God says those giants ain't nothing, they're not enough. We look at the giants in our lives, and they can be awful intimidating. But remember, Caleb, Joshua, they weren't intimidated by no giants. Little David, this little kid, was not intimidated by his giant. He ran towards that giant. He said, God's got me, man. Okay, I belong to the Most High God. I'm about to prove to all these Philistines and this knucklehead right here that there is a God in Israel, and you've been hacking on them. You've been mocking them for quite a while, so it's payback time. Isaiah 41, verse 10, here's a good one. This is the part of the sermon where I try and assert my favorite verse. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not. Years ago, I used to go to this church on Wednesday nights. I worked at the shelter for troubled and homeless kids and whatever, and one of the things we got to do on Wednesday nights is take them to this church in Pensacola. It's a really good church, and I noticed that the pastor, at least once a service on Wednesday night, would begin to say, and Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. And I thought, man, I ain't no preacher, but I think I could, maybe mix it up a little bit. Like, no, man, that's a good verse. It's a good verse, and there's nothing wrong with going over good verses and getting them in our heart. Matter of fact, a little side note, we need to meditate on the Word. We need to speak the Word. We need to memorize Scripture. Yeah? Memorize some of these key Scriptures, man. Get them in our hearts so when something crazy happens, fear not, for I'm with you. I'm not alone. God's with me. I got to go take this mountain. I want to take this mountain. I want to put a cabin up here and maybe a little something over here. It'd be nice in the springtime, have the grandkids come over, a little swing. But I got to get rid of the giants. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. So we got the giants in our world. We got all this. Fear not, for I am with you. Giants ain't nothing compared to our Father. Fear not, for I am with you. Remember when you were a little kid and you'd walk with your dad somewhere and you weren't really worried about anything, you know, because you had your dad. You know, you had your dad with you. Anything happened, he'd take care of it. I'm about to look down this candy aisle. I'll be over here. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Fear not. Okay, because God's with me. Creator of the universe. He's with me. And then, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. No, you don't have the past that I got. It's easy for you to say, I'm pretty discouraged about my past and this and that. Well, be not dismayed, for I am your God. All things are made new. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'm really scared about the future. I think I'm just going to be alone my whole life. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to pull into a Tom Thumb and enjoy the abundance of being able to buy a delicious Coke Zero because I ain't never got enough money. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. You belong to me. My God shall supply all your needs. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's really, really cool right there. I will strengthen you. We've been talking about that a lot. You need strength. You got to face a giant. I'll give you what you need. I'll take care of you. Trust in me. And when I trust in God, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to step out on that limb. He's not going to let me down. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will help you. So that actually implies that there is something I got to do on my part. I will help you. So guys, you know, you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. When you're serious about it, you take those steps, says, I'm right here with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go before you. I need you to be behind me. I need you to trust in me. Part of being obedient to God is letting God do his part. You know what I mean? Trusting in him with your whole heart. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. I will strengthen you. I will help you. So when you can't reach it, he'll take care of that part. Caleb, I'm promising you this. That mountain, that's yours. That high ground, that's yours. There's a bunch of giants over there. I'll take care of them. You just go up there. All right. May be that the Lord will be with me and drive them out just as the Lord said. If the Lord says that, you can write a check on it. The Lord says it, you can take it to the bank. Let's look at Isaiah 41, verse 10 again. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's so precious. That's so precious. And it's certainly implied when I'm weak, he'll hold me up. He'll give me the strength. That's definitely in there. But what this is talking about, it's more like the done deal. It's like after the battle, though, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's not just saying when the waters get high, I'll hold you up. Okay, it's not just saying when you're weak, I'll hold you up and give you strength. What it is totally saying is like when Mike Tyson knocks that dude out in a legal match. Mike or Cassius Clay, Sugar Ray Leonard, or Roy Jones Jr. Knocks the dude out, wins the fight. The referee guy runs up there and he grabs his glove, hand in glove, and holds his hand up. Oh, you did it, Mike Tyson, you did it. You did it. Where are you going, Disney World? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to get you. I'll get you to the mountain, and we'll go to the top of the mountain, and we're going to defeat all these giants. We're going to take care of that. And at the end, we're going to go to the very top of the mountain, and I'm going to hold your hand up in victory. And I'll look around, see, this is all yours, man, just like I promised you all those years ago. Give the Lord some praise. So sometimes we worry about our kids, you know. What's going to happen, man? Are they going to walk with the Lord? Yeah, they're going to walk with the Lord because we're going to give them to the Lord. We're going to give them to the Lord. And God's going to get us to that place. We might not even see it with our own eyes. You know, we might not even see it on this side of Jordan, but God will keep his word. So we need to live like it's a done deal, because in God's eyes, it's a done deal. Amen. Joshua 14, 12. Next slide. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. See, Caleb's got this figured out, man. He was taking notes with all the plagues that were hitting Egypt. He was taking notes with everything that was going on, all the miracles and all that. He was saying, I got a big God. I got a God that just crushed all these gods that my people have heard about for 400 years, about how they were held down by the Egyptians' gods. And my God came in single-handedly, knocked each one of them out like they were nothing. You know what I mean? I got a big God. He grabbed all of that, and he held it close to him. So when he was spying out the land, and he's like, well, this is what God has for him. Oh, there's giants. We can't take it. He wasn't like that. He was like, okay, so there's some giants. God's got that. It's no big deal. Not to my God. So big God means small problems. Big God means problems. And I'm not saying your problems are small. I'm just saying stacked up to the creator of the universe, who's our Heavenly Father, they're nothing. Not compared to him. To us, they're life-changing. To us, they're crazy, you know. But, okay, so here's the deal. We got a big God, and he's bigger than those problems. Matter of fact, Psalm 34, 3 and 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I like this because it's talking about coming together and worshiping collectively. And sometimes when we're feeling stressed or down and out or depressed, you know, we're like, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be around people. Pretend like I'm in a good mood or whatever. Well, don't be fake or anything like that. But when we get together, one of the beautiful things about coming together is we can encourage one another. We encourage one another. See somebody going down, like, I know what you're going through, but God is faithful. And I don't even really know what you're going through, but I love you. And I know that God loves you way more than I can even begin to love you. So I know it's going to be all right because God's promises are true. Psalm 34, 3 and 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. See God for what he really is. Begin to see God for who he really is. And then our problems will begin to dwarf in comparison. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? It's an amazing thing. Magnify God, and he's going to give you peace. Magnify God, and he'll give you peace for the journey. You got to go up that mountain. You want to go up that mountain. Some people just ain't going to go up the mountain, and they're not going to get those blessings. Some people, Caleb could have been like, I'm here. I did a fair amount of fighting. I'm 85 years old. This place right here don't look half bad. Martha, what do you think? You think you're really? He's like, no, I'm not selling for this. This is fine and dandy. It's great for you. But no, I want what God's got for me. I want it all, man. He set it aside for me. Well, there's giants up there. I don't care. There's nothing compared to God. All right. Then Joshua, okay. Oh, magnify the Lord. Now look at Joshua 14, 13 and 14. They're the last verses. Then Joshua blessed him. So Joshua heard Caleb out, and he's like, okay, all right, tough guy. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. I don't know if I'm saying them words right. Because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. It wasn't just Joshua signing off on it saying, go ahead and get it. There was an authority thing there. There was a spiritual authority thing that he had to go through, and he understood that and he recognized that. But, okay, because he wholly followed God, because he was trusting in God and he obeyed God, all he had to do was go claim what God had for him, and that was by taking them steps going up that mountain, you know, and taking it. And then God was going to do the heavy part. And God did. Now, the really, really cool thing is we find out that this hill country is actually Hebron, which is a very special place for the Israelite people. Even before it became the land of Israel, back to the patriarchs, this area of Hebron This is where the patriarchs were actually buried. This is where Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. Those were very special people. And then Isaac and his wife Rebecca, and then Jacob, they're all buried in this place. So this was a special place. And it's not, I mean, we can also look at it like this. God said, Caleb, you're the man for this job. I have called you by name to take this land. All right? It's a good land. It's perfect for you. But God looks at us and he says, Courtney, you're the woman for this job. Dalton, you're the man for this job. And so we got to trust in God, take those steps of obedience, even when it's kind of scary, and God will bless us. You know, this was a special land, and Caleb wasn't saying, I'm not about. So all the giants are up there now, and they're all up there, and don't no one need to go up there. I've heard stories of people going up there on picnics and ended up being picnics for the giants. We just need to write that land off. No one go over. Don't go there. Don't go there. That's what people say. Don't go there. Talk to the hand. That's something different. But Caleb was like, no, man. That's God's land. That's my land. That's a special place. And God had called him to do it. God's called us to do some things. What has he called us to do? Okay, well, let me break it down for you like this. You take the word of God. When it says do something, do it. When it says don't do something, don't do that. Okay? All right. You're going to find yourself in God's will. So, but what I'm saying is I have a decision to make. This, I do that. I don't know what to do. Well, okay, which one's going to please God? Which one's going to benefit my relationship with God the most? I don't know. Okay? So go on and step out there. Trust in God, and God will direct you. He'll get you that place you need to be. Oh, God wants us to be blessed. Ephesians says, trust in me, obey my word, and I'll bless you more than you could ever imagine. You can settle for this. You know, you're saved. You can settle for this. You can kind of just, you know, get on through. But I don't want that for you. I want to use you mightily, and I want to advance you, and I want to take you all the way to the top of the mountain. Dear Lord, thank you so much for blessing these folks, Lord.